foolish dreams are all gone. I found it's not so important the house that you build, but what you build it upon.
And now I've found me a rock that's sure.
Thank you, ladies. One of the joys of being around a little while, you get to see a few things happen. And as a young preacher just starting out, I had the privilege of getting acquainted with a young family that had just gotten saved. And God began to work in their lives, and you could see the hand of God on them. I'm talking about Brother and Mrs. Buchanan. Our two speakers tonight are very precious to me, very dear to me. I know where they came from. I know what God's done in their life and what God's done with their life. Dr. B.G. Buchanan pastors the Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the largest independent Baptist church in Louisiana. This man is tough, but if you know him, he's got a heart that's tender for people. He and Brother Gomez puts on the tough exterior, and they are tough. They're men, and they're good men, strong men. They're men's men. But I've watched both of them weep over souls, over preachers, over church members. They have a heart. They have a life that's tough and a heart that's tender for God and the things of God. You listen to Brother Buchanan as he comes tonight to bring the message for this hour. Brother Buchanan, we thank God for you.
And we love you, sir.
Thank you, preacher. I was telling Brother Donnelly, picked us up, that I owe a lot to Brother Smith, and I mean that. And I'm like Brother Gomez. I think you need to remember those who've had a great blessing and help in your life. Amen. Matter of fact, I think Brother Smith is really the captain now of our team, and he's proved himself and done a great work and been in just about every field you can. And I'll tell you one of these days I got more time. How he encouraged me. I was telling the Donnelly family how he encouraged me with his foot. Because he told me if I didn't finish Bible college, he was going to put it somewhere that you can't see. And And so the night I graduated, he was sitting in the aisle, Brother Fugate. When I walked by him, he was shaking his foot. But I love him, he and Miss Smith, and appreciate him. He's a great preacher and a great friend. And here's some things. Young people, you want to just flat shock your mom and dad. I mean, just shock them. Next time you sit down to eat, say, what? No broccoli? Fellas, walk by your mom and say, boy, you're a cool mom. That'll shock her. She thinks she's cold probably, amen? And then, you know, just walk in and say, hey, I don't give a rip. The TV's broke. We'll just have family time. If they take you shopping, take them over to the most expensive tennis shoes you can find. Say, those are too expensive for me. I don't want those. I'm trying to help you get rid of your mom and dad here. When you come out of your room in the morning, say, don't worry, I made up my bed, cleaned up my room. It's all clean. Don't worry about it. If you have a brother or a sister in your family, if there's, like in my family, there was 9 of us, next time there's a problem, just stand up and say, it was my fault. Look at these kids grinning. They're under conviction. Right before you go to bed, just walk by your mom and say, what, no kiss? That'll shock her. Now, this is the number one killer, kids. Listen to this. Say, that's okay. None of my friends are allowed to do that either. Just say that to them. Amen. Somebody told me that rearing teenagers like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree. Is that right? Pretty close, isn't it? I try to open every Sunday morning. You know, Sunday mornings are tough a little bit, and I step up for prayer. And I stepped up the other morning, and I said, folks, I want to tell you something. I'm really thankful for a lot of things, and you ought to be thankful, but I'm thankful that wrinkles don't hurt. Listen to this. This is real good. Families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. Now, this is good. You're going to like this, and I think you'll get it. When you get to be middle-aged, let me tell you how you know when you get to be middle-aged. You buy cereal for the fiber, not for the toy. Now, think about this one. Think about this one. If you can remain calm, you don't have all the facts yet. All right? Well, it's good to smile and laugh, isn't it? Good to live in America, isn't it? Boy, it's good. I appreciate the opportunity to be here to preach to you, and I want to thank Brother Smith and you fellas, and then thank you for the good place to stay. You know, I don't take it for granted having a nice room, and it's wonderful to have a good place to stay, and thank you for everything that was in the room. And then Brother Donnelly picked us up and took us to Steak and Ale, and he ate the steak. You'll get that later, amen. You'll get that. I really, honestly, and most of the preachers are like this. You don't look at this lightly, folks. I'm telling you, it's a heavy responsibility preaching. It really is. I've never really gotten used to it. I can't believe it's me. You know, there's no Christians in my family. I wasn't not reared in church, and I grew up basically right over here in Diamond Hill area, rough part of town, and was born in Oklahoma, came down here and got saved, and then God sent me to the bottom of the world. It's only 80 miles to the ocean from Baton Rouge, but it's wonderful. And you know, I never met my dad's dad, never met my dad's mom, and on it goes. And so preaching to me is a big thing, and it always has been, regardless of where it is or who to. And I've preached to a lot of people, preached to 4 women and 3 kids one time and convinced them to go back to their church. And I really, my wife knows that, you know, this is a big thing to me. And I'm always concerned, and I want to do exactly what needs to be done. Years ago, I want to be honest with you, I used to preach out a lot, and I went for the wrong motive. You know, used to they'd put pictures on posters, and I liked that. And I apologized to God, and I said, I don't want to preach anymore unless I can help people. Now, I want to talk to you about these conferences are not just to get together. I mean, you can get together and play dominoes, and I can't stand that either. I'm not a good table person when it comes to games, because I want to break something or fix it, not say, you know. And I sat down to play some dominoes with a fellow one time. A guy looked across from me and said, I know what you got. And I just gave him to him, got up and walked off. Just got up and walked off. Well, if he knows what I got, there ain't no need playing. Amen? And so I just got up and walked off. And you can get together and have a crowd. And there's some lay people here tonight. And most time we preach to folks that a lot of time are preachers. But I want to really preach tonight to both folks. I want to preach to the lay people and to the preachers. And I'm going to preach a sermon I preached at Brother Gomez's the other day. I used to preach it a lot. Preached it some to married folks up at Brother Fugate's place. And I've kind of added some more to it. But it's really been a burden on my heart. And you, if you watch preachers or know, they'll look and pray. Now, Denny Carl is the only fella I know who can sit down on a platform and say, what do you want me to preach? And that's not being unkind. And he can do it. And folks, you've ever noticed he flips that notebook, but he never looks at it. I hate that. I hate that. I got in mind cry right here. Yeah. Laugh right here. You notice I got an amen section tonight? Amen. Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. I was preaching somewhere the other night, and it kind of got a little quiet, and I said, okay, when I drop my hand, I want this group over here to say, mm-hmm. And I want this group to say, amen. And I want this group to say, yes, sir. Now, if you did that all at once, watch this, do it. Come on, folks. Ah, oh, that's sickening. Come on now, come on.
Amen.
Now, did y'all get y'all's part? All right, let me hear it. All right, come on now. Let's see this group, come on.
Amen.
All right, come on. All right, let's do it all together. Thank you. I'm going to pray. We'll be through. Amen. Acts chapter 17, please, if you stand in honor of the Word of God. I'm going to do this like my mother's biscuits, put a little shortening in it so Brother Gomez can get up here and finish this off. And I love him, too, a great friend of mine. A lot of friends of mine in this room have been kind to me, and I appreciate that. Acts chapter 17, the Bible says, if you'll look down, I'm going to break into the chapter, in verse number 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for it to come to him, with all speed they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Armenians and the Calvinists, oh no, that's not what that said. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, now listen to what they call Paul. What will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. And folks, this is happening in America now. He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Now in the morning, if nothing don't happen, I'm going to preach on. You have a little red light on your dash that says check engine soon. Now I look for sermons on cereal boxes.
Amen.
Everywhere. I do. I don't know what you preachers do. I hear a preacher say something, I write it down. And so in the morning, I think I'm going to preach on that check engine soon. That's important. You could be on the side of the road if you don't check the engine. You know what a lot of people do? They just put a black tape over it. That's the way we do, isn't it? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us so much. And this great preacher we're reading about here in Acts chapter 17 said that we'd never be able to comprehend the height, the breadth, and the length of the love of God, but we sure can experience it. And I want to thank you for that tonight. And Lord, it goes without saying, I thank you for letting me live in America. It's wonderful. We came here tonight without fear. We didn't fear of anyone standing out front and threatening us, or anyone trying to kill our kids or even take our Bibles. Help us never to take that for granted. And dear God, there must be some salt left somewhere in this country. because you're still keeping us free. And Lord, I want to thank you for this conference and thank you for letting me have a part. I mean that. And Lord, let me say the only way I can say it, I don't want to mess this up. Lord, help me to be a blessing. Thank you for this good church and for Dr. Smith and these preachers who've come together and have a burden not only for this area but for the whole world. And dear God, help me now to do my part to be a blessing and a help, and certainly be a Dr. Gomez when he comes a little while. Lord, may he preach in such power and fervor and the fog of the Spirit that he'd not know where he's been. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Let me start this way because it really happened like this. I used to preach a lot of youth camps, and it's evident why I don't do it anymore because I'm a couple of years older. And I used to go preach in Comfort, Texas, and it's an amazing thing, really. Some folks I was preaching for, and I'm not being unkind, they really didn't have any physical standards, and they asked me to come back 5 years in a row, and it's an amazing thing that would happen. And one, I think it was the second year I went, a pastor's wife got up and she sang this song. Oftentimes my heart's been stirred by the things that I've heard about so many that have never heard God's word. And though tears would fill my eyes, all too soon I'd realize that though my heart was stirred, my life had not been changed. I'm so tired of being stirred about the lost that need to hear. I'm so tired of being stirred that His coming is so near. I'm so tired of being stirred till I cry bitter tears, for I'm so tired of being stirred but not being changed. Have I heard it for so long that it's just another song? Has the story lost the thrill that I once knew? Lord, give me a burden that's so strong it will last when my tears are gone. I'm so tired of what I've been. Lord, make me over again. But this time, Lord, change me. Let the work begin just now. This time, Lord, change me. Please change me somehow. This time, Lord, change me. Let my life be rearranged, for I'm so tired of being stirred but not being changed. Let the work begin just now. Please change me somehow. This time, Lord, change me. Please change me. Now, that was years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and that gripped my heart, and I'm being sincere. When she got through singing that song, and I know it was a woman, and it was, but if she just said, all right, if you need to come forward, I would have gone forward. In my heart, I went to the altar. I really did. I went back home. That was in June or July, and we had a lady that played our piano at that time. Was a tremendous lady, great woman, and a great singer, and loved the Lord, and some awful things happened. They had to leave our church, and I went to her, and her name was Kathy, and I said, Kathy, here's a song. And I said, I want you to sing it, but I don't want you to sing it till it lives in your heart. Do you hear that? Till it lives in your heart. Now, folks, we're not in the entertainment business. You know, the music that you use most of the time came from someone who had an experience. Now, the fellow wrote this song, I'm not a fan of his, but the words are good. And she came to me, now listen, she came to me in October. And said, preacher, the song lives in my heart. And so I'm not going to preach the song, but I'm going to preach some things I ask the Lord to give me that we take for granted and we get stirred up, but we don't change. And she'd sing that song and God would just move in and do great things, and something happened and they had to leave and go to another church. And I was up that church preaching one time and she came out and I said, Kathy, how's my song? She said, I'll never sing it again. She said, preacher, that was your song. I'll never sing it again. And I put this message away, and it seems like here lately it's been coming back. And I want to preach to you tonight on being stirred but not being changed. Now, if I could sort of get you to see, now, I told my folks, and I mean it, I'm tired of Sunday school teachers telling children this is a Bible story. No, it's not a Bible story. It's Bible. Folks, we didn't look at black words on white paper tonight. We looked at a man named Paul. If I could give it to you this way, and let me be a little Mel Gibson-y, okay, who knows nothing about God, and tons of people would flock to hear that thing. Southern Baptist churches and Baton Rouge rented the film and showed it to their people. I wouldn't even walk across the town to shake his hand, and he'd have gotten in trouble messing with them Jews, didn't he? But let me put it this way. Let's say, for example, I was going from Dallas to Weatherford, and I stopped in Fort Worth, and I stopped there to spend the night. Now, here we have the Bible says Silas and Timotheus, they conducted Paul unto Athens. Let's say that Fort Worth is Athens. Now, he was not led of the Spirit of God to go there. That's where they stopped with him. And the Bible says, to receive a commandment and sought the more, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, notice what it says. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, he was just waiting there. And let's say it's me, and I go over to the room, and I like to open the window and look out, especially of a morning. And I looked out at Fort Worth, Texas, and I noticed it was full of heathen people. Now, Paul didn't say, well, God hadn't called me here. He went out in the street and did something. You know why? The Bible said his spirit was stirred in him. Do you know why back in the early 60s and right on for a while that we did something great? Because our spirit was stirred in us. We were hungry. We're not hungry anymore. And we started Christian schools not to make money, but we started Christian schools, and we used to say, hey, if your kid don't want to come, don't send him. We still do that. I didn't get much help there. And we didn't start daycares to run our churches. We started them to start training the kids from a little bitty so they can know the Word of God. And we got hungry. And God gave us a semblance of a president named Reagan and knew a little bit about the Word of God. We're not hungry anymore. We got to get that back somehow. And so I said, Lord, help me with this. And so I'm going to give you two or three things and then sit down. Let me tell you, first of all, and I want you to listen to me, and this not just fit preachers, this fits lay people. We hear preaching on prayer. And the Bible gives us 500 references on prayer. And we hear preaching on prayer, and we hear talk about fervent prayer. You know what fervent prayer is? It's when your wife gets sick and the doctor says, I can't do anything for her. And we hear in the Bible where it talks about frequent prayer. And the Bible says a man ought to always pray daily, not to faint. And when it comes to Baptists, they pass out pretty quick, don't they? And the Bible talks about faithful prayer. Now, I don't have time to cover all those, and I'm not going to do that. But we hear teaching on prayer, we hear preaching on prayer, and we ought to hear preaching on prayer, and we ought to hear teaching on prayer, and we hear how it changed a world. You never show me really where preaching, except somebody was behind it, and prayer changed the world. Amen. All the great preachers you hear about that preached, and God blessed them, they had somebody praying for them. Somebody constantly interceding for them. And we hear how prayers changed the course of the world and brought revival. And we get all stirred up about it in the conference like this. And lay people, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. The Bible does not say that everybody's called to preach. And you ought to thank God for that. I tell folks, hey, you want to get a hold? Come on down, surrender to preach. We'll get you a church where there's a dear little old lady on the piano. She's been there 150 years. And if you walk over and look at it, she'll threaten to kill you. Amen. You know, and if you think it's easy, and everybody's not called to preach, and everybody's not called to sing, but everybody in this room can pray. Everybody in this room can pray. And little kids need to learn how to pray. And matter of fact, most time little kids are the one to get through to God. Amen. And we don't just need to get stirred up about prayer. The Bible said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And if we pray for this country like we really thought it was dying, God would do something. He'd do something great. And you don't need to come to a conference like this and just get stirred up. And I'm for the old boys, and that was good. And rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. We can whoop you in any old slop. I'm for all of that kind of stuff. But we need to go home changed when we leave these places. You ever read about Nehemiah? He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a preacher. He just had a high position. But when he heard about Jerusalem, the Bible said he began to weep and to pray and fast. And God used that man. If you want to really be encouraged, you read the book of Nehemiah. And God used that man in a great way. And he started out praying and weeping. And you listen to me, folks. That's what we need to do. We don't need to get stirred up. I'm for preaching, and I like preaching. And preaching's convicting. But listen to me. Everybody can pray, and you ought to go out here and pray for this country. You ought to pray for your preacher. You ought to pray for your preacher every day. You ought to pray for his wife. You ought to pray for his children. And you ought to pray for God to do something. You ought to pray for your mission. I mean, you ought to uphold him and pray. And I mean, have a time where you meet with God. David said, I have walked in thy precepts. I'm talking about continually walking like Brother Chadwick does in prayer. We need to do that. And if we don't do that, we're going to lose this thing. Amen. Let me tell you something about prayer. It'll change your attitude about the work of God. I first got saved. I wasn't saved too long until I got really involved. And I'm sorry there wasn't no discipleship class. Nobody come along saying, come on, and all this. I just got down beside my bed. My wife was gone, and my oldest girl was gone. I'd been saved about a month, maybe less than a month. Lived over in Arlington Heights in Fort Worth. Moved away from Diamond Hill area. There's health problems. They got sick of me over there. And I got to thinking about, Brother Fugate, what happened to me when I got saved? And I really got to think I was by myself. And I went back in the back bedroom and I got on my knees and I said, "Oh God, thank you for saving me. It's wonderful." And I said, "Lord, I don't know much about prayer. And I don't know much about commitment. I've been committed to some awful things before I got saved. But I said, from now on, you can have that pretty brunette wife of mine. And you can have that little old girl with those golden hair, curls in her hair. And you can have that 56 Ford with a T-Bird engine in it. And God, you can have this house." And I said, "Listen, Lord, every time the church doors open, I'm going to be there, dear God. I'm going to start going to Sunday school and Sunday night and Wednesday night." And I said, "Lord, I don't know what that preacher's talking about, that visitation thing, but I'm going to go to that." And I got up off my knees. Now, I didn't see nothing spooky, have no feelings, nothing. You may do it. And God changed me right there. Let me tell you something. Prayer will change your attitude about the work of God. If you pray for this church like you are to, you'll get involved in this church. If you pray for this church like you are to, you'll come ready every Sunday to hear the preacher preach. Matter of fact, you won't be able to hardly wait. You'll come and you'll say, "Oh boy, Brother Smith, come on, get up there and get after it." Amen. And I'm telling you, prayer will change your attitude. We don't need to get stirred up about it. We need to change. Amen. Prayer will change your attitude about people. I challenge you preachers to cuss another preacher on your knees. Come on. Now listen to me, I'm an independent Baptist. I don't really care what you think. Your association is not paying for my retirement, so I don't have to worry. I challenge you husband and wife to cuss each other on your knees praying. I'm telling you something, prayer will change your attitude about people. You're going to learn one of these days that people are hard to get along with. And some of them plan that. They work at it. They get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to see who I can aggravate today." And you know, and your natural tendency is to tell them, "Hey, get a little closer so I can sock you right in the mouth." But if you pray for them like you are too. You know, I heard somebody say, "Boy, if we pray really for people we don't really like, that God will help us." So I started praying. I'm not being unkind for Bill Clinton and Jesse Jackson. I'm not being unkind. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for those who are in authority. Now, I wanted to pray, "Oh, dear God, kill them," but I didn't find that in the Bible. Matter of fact, listen to me. I told my folks, if I prayed for our president as much as I discussed him and cussed him, he might be a different man. Now, come on, folks. I'm talking about the Word of God. Prayer will change your attitude about people. It will change your feelings. You get close to God, you're going to think like God. Prayer will change your attitude about your possessions. You'll want to give them away. We just had Jim Brown come. I don't really like Jim Brown. He knows that. He and I have known each other for a long time. I don't like him because he left Louisiana for one reason, but it's a long story. I've known him for a long time and helped him, and he's helped me. Jim Brown goes to India often. I want you to listen to me. He said those people get saved, number one, because they're humble and they're poor. And he said they don't have doctors. Hardly very few doctors. And he said, so they have these people that are steeped in devilology and all that stuff. The Bible doesn't talk about demons, it talks about devils. And he said they try to help their people, these witch doctor types, and they can't help them. So they come to these Christians. These people come to these Christians. You know why? Because when somebody gets sick, Brother Chadwick, they call the Christians together and God does something. Huh? See, if you had to pray like that, you'd pray. I'm talking about getting a hold of God. I'm talking about not just getting stirred up saying, "We're going out here." No, I'm talking about when you get out here, you're going to start praying different on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And a year from now, you'll still be walking with God and talking with God. And you'll be praying for people and you'll be holding up your family. I pray for my family every day. You read the book of Job. He said, lest they some evil come upon them. And evil did come. But he prayed for them. We need to pray again, folks. I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about lay people. There's some of you lay people in this room can get a hold of God. I mean, you can get a hold of God. There's an old preacher, he can't preach like he used to. His name's Ed Ballou, not Ed Ballou, it's Ed Ballou. And first time I heard Ed Ballou, he was doing a better job in the pew than the guy was behind the pulpit. "That's right, son, amen, preach it, son, we need it. Come on, son, preach, hallelujah." And the kid got to preach his heart, he forgot where he was. I think he's full blood, some kind of maybe Apache, I don't know the way he acts. Right before I moved down to Baton Rouge, I went to hear him preach up in one of those little towns outside of Wichita Falls, and he's preaching up a storm about 100 people. He said, "The Bible says, Let your light so shine before men that they'll see a good work. And he said, sweetheart, it didn't say your tail light. Now you need to get a different dress on. Well, is that right or not? He came down to preach right below me down in Houma. And they had a tendency to run around knocking people over and then going home and do nothing, you know, getting them shouting. Now, if you're going to shout, do something afterwards. He went over to the piano bench, Brother Fugate, and he put his foot on that piano bench. And he asked that piano player, he said, are you riding with God? She said, no. He said, honey, where's your husband? She said, right there. He said, hey, you stand up. You ride with God? He said, no. He said, get off this piano bench. You don't get over here, you get right with God. Boy, you talk about people getting mad today, son. They get mad. They get a crowd around them. Amen. Hey, if you do anything with God, you ought to be right with God. He said, Brother Buchanan, they didn't get up and shout. They wept that week. He said, I went to one of them schools of higher learning to preach. And he said, I walked down the hall to one of them theological schools. He said, there was a sign on the door, professor of Old Testament, professor of hermeneutics, professor of soteriology. And he said, y'all know the professor of prayer? He's called the Holy Ghost. He said, I was a little old kid. He said, my daddy got me by the finger and said, son, follow me. And he said, we walked out through a little patch and walked through the woods to a little patch over to a big old tree. He said, son, my dad said, son, I don't know much, but here's why I pray every day. Get that. A dad did that to his son. Not a preacher, just a dad. He said, my dad got real sick one time. He said, the old men come around. They used to do that. He said, they sitting out in the front yard. And he said, they were sitting out there waiting for my daddy to die. And he said, my mama said, now, son, I'm going to go right out here and pray. And when your daddy says something, you let me know. And doctors done give him up. He said, my mama went out there in a little patch of weeds. He said, she started praying. Those old men took off their hat. He said, in a minute, she stood up and said, hallelujah. He said, my dad sat up in the bed and said, son, is that your mama praying? Why is that strange there, folks? You say, well, if it's not the will of God, hey, even if it's not the will of God or not, God ought to know we're talking to him. Amen. How about it? Are we going to get stirred up or are we going to do something? And you know, don't impress God with your prayers. Don't pray in stained glass tones. Dear God, as we come into your presence. Well, where have you been? He's everywhere. Don't try to impress God. You know, I've got a son. Wouldn't it be something if he came in and said, dear Dad. I said, hey, son, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, something wrong with you. I'm not talking about being irreverent, folks. We call him our father. Brother Smith had contacted and we helped him for a while. A young black preacher came to Baton Rouge and some Southern Baptist folk gave him a building. And I said, no strings attached. They said, no strings. I said, okay. So the kind of the leader of it came over to my office to pray with me. He said, I want to pray with you about it. I said, okay, you pray first. He got on his knees and he said, dear Lord. And he stopped. And I went over and said, you okay? He said, I'm just waiting to get in God's presence. I said, he's already in this room. What's wrong with you? Now, folks, I'm not being ugly. I mean that. Hey, you talk to God, you talk to God reverently, but you talk to him and you get a hold of him fervently and you don't turn loose. You do like Jacob did that woman. I mean, like that angel there. And besides, angels are men, not women. Excuse me. Anyway, the other ones you see with the red suits on. Anyway, never mind. I love you, sweetheart. I'm glad you're with me. You'll remember that, won't you? I got a voicemail on my phone Monday. A little tender bus parent mama. She said, Brother Buchanan, my little five-year-old boy is having bad headaches. I'm at the hospital. Would you come pray for him? Amen. And I went up there. That old kid ain't got no teeth in front. He don't know who his daddy is. He said, Mama, it's the preacher. It's the preacher. It's my privilege to go up there and pray for that little boy. He went home today. Listen to me. I'm talking about something real, folks. Something that your great-grandma and grandma knew what to do. Amen. Yeah. Right quickly, number two. We need to get stirred up about the Bible. Yeah. Oh, listen. You realize what you got in your hand right there. Yeah. You have the Word of God. And do you know, the kids in our school in kindergarten can read this Bible. This Bible, it's amazing. Somebody said, well, it's hard to understand. Well, let me see something. I'm going to close my eyes and do what you want to do. Two sons did milk a bear. Oh, no, that's Hezekiah. And when he had tarried certain days among them, more than 10 days, that's not hard to understand. You need to have a systematic plan of reading your Bible. Now, listen to me. I'm talking about getting by yourself again. Not when the TV's on. Getting by yourself. I pastored right up in Roanoke, Texas, great big old city of 500 for a while. Had a wonderful ministry. And just a kid, you know, and boy, you just pastored with fear and trembling. I still do. And a dear lady came to me one evening. She said, Brother Buchanan, I want you to come over to my house, you know, Mr. Buchanan. And I said, okay. And I went over and sat down, and she said, now, here's the papers I have from the psychologist and psychiatrist, and I have a lot of problems and difficulties, and what do you think I ought to do? You want a pastor for a while? I said, okay. You going to listen to me? She said, yeah. I said, after you get the kids off of a morning, get your husband off to work, I said, take the phone off the hook. Back then, you had to. You couldn't turn them down. And I said, you get in that Bible and you read it till your heart burns. And I said, then you start thanking God. You thank Him for your health. You thank Him for your eyes. You thank Him for your husband. Thank Him your kids are not sick. Thank Him for letting you have a good, your husband have a good job. I said, just go on. I said, I'll see you in a week. I went back in a week and I said, how are you doing? She said, those psychologists and psychiatrists are stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. You're clean through the Word. That's what Jesus said. Now listen to me. We need to get in this book. We need to live in this book. It's a shame that the cults know more about what they're doing than we know about the Word of God. And I'm not talking about being theologians. I'm just talking about getting in the Bible. You don't have to be a theologian. A good friend of mine started the Baptist Bible Translators up here in Bowie, Texas. Here was his motto: no Bible, no breakfast. No devotion, no dinner. No scripture, no supper. You really want to get a blessing? Get by yourself and read it out loud. Just read it out loud. Oh, Lord God, folks. Listen to me. We got to get back to the things that worked. Amen. First of all, we don't need to get started about prayer. We need to change. I could tell you some marvelous things God done for me and my wife through prayer. It's wonderful. And some of you. Why don't we keep that up? Then number three, this is a big one. This is a real big one. We don't need to read what the Bible says about loving each other. We need to love each other, folks. Now, let me tell you something. I don't have to love the way you live, but I have to love you. Could I read you something? Thank you. You're welcome. Preachers, get up and preach on this. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Now, we don't like that because we're temperamental, fundamental, old-fashioned, blowing the bottle. No, listen. Now, it's not talking about loving the guy about to shoot you between the eyes. That's not talking about that. You know that. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Romans, that was Luke 6 and goes on. Romans chapter number 12, listen to this. It says right here, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. That means play acting. That means an actor. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Let me tell you how to trap people on that, okay? Let me tell you how to honor one another before each other. Walk up to a door sometime and open it and say, after me, and they'll walk right in front of you every time. See, you didn't even catch it. After me. And they'll walk right in front of you every time. Now, fellas, listen to me. Listen to me. Our group's getting smaller. I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to agree with everything Bob Smith does because he's an independent fundamental Baptist. Now, if he don't preach the book, I'm not going to mess with him, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I love him. I don't expect you to do everything I do. I don't expect, but I'm going to love you. I'm going to help you. And I'm going to do everything to do that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to do me a favor right quickly. I've got to hurry. It's 8 o'clock. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now get your pen or pencil out or eyeshadow, eyeliner or lipstick or something, whatever. Whatever you got, fellas, in your purse. Get it out. Is everybody in 1 Corinthians 13? Say amen. All right. Now, look up and just a minute. Let's take a little test. Finish this statement. God is... Everybody say it. You heard it. God is what? All right, when you get saved, God and Jesus move into you. Is that right? Come on, is that right, folks? Okay. Now, every place it says charity, I want you to put your name. Now, don't look at me. I want you to put it in there. It don't hurt for you writing your Bible. God don't mind. My name is Bobby Jean Buchanan. I'm just going to put Bob, okay? That's for Brother Smith, not me. Bob, 1 Corinthians 13:4, Bob suffereth long. Now, look up at me just a minute. When I was in Bible college, Dr. Barber was my Life of Christ teacher. When it came to a test, you didn't make an A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You made an A or an F. How'd you do right there on the A or F? Does that say charity suffereth long? How come we're so short-fused? Now, I think we ought to be short-fused about sin. But how come we're so short-fused with each other? And you know, we're going to a family counseling clinic. If you just read this and knew what it says, you wouldn't have to pay the money to some screwballs never been married, don't have any kids. Trying to tell you how to live. Okay, you ready? Bob, now, and I'm not going to hurt scripture, and Bob is kind. Now, I have to work on that. And please help me here, and you'll understand that. Bob seeketh not his own. I'm sure not hurt. I'm not going to read the next one. Bob is not what, folks? Brother Smith said it. Can the rest of you say it? Bob is not what? Hey, come on, say it out loud. Man, if I was preaching against the queers and the drunks and the harlots and all that stuff, you'd be amen and loud. Bob is not what? Bob thinketh no evil. Here's how we are. Well, bless God, that's what they deserve. I mean, they quit doing this, they quit doing that. Bless God, they deserve to have a car wreck and get their head knocked off. Hallelujah, I'm for it. That don't say that. Well, I knew that was going to happen to them sooner or later. Yes, the judgment of God was going to follow. I knew that was going to happen. What if it falls on you? What are they going to think about you? Let God do his own judging. Does that say Bob thinketh no evil? Huh? Bob rejoiceth not in what? Ha ha, God finally got him. Let's go drink coffee and talk about it. Come on, folks. We know very little about the Bible, really. Huh? But Bob rejoiceth in the what, folks? Bob beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Wow. Now, you know why I read that pretty often, Brother Ogden? Because that hurts me. I'm telling you, that hurts me, folks. And if it don't hurt me, there's something wrong with me. Amen. Let's don't just get stirred up about that. We need to... I want people to love me. They don't have to agree with me, Doc, but I want them to love me. Say amen, amen, section up here. Amen. Yeah. You know, I mean that. You say, well, somebody despises me. The Bible says you ought to love them. Well, somebody hates me. Hey, get in line. Amen, you ought to love them. Somebody misused me. You ought to love them. Somebody misunderstand me. You ought to love them. Jesus said, all men you'll know you're my disciples. When you sing, you swallow the microphone and it's so melted. No, he didn't say, all men you'll know my disciples. If you can preach till your pants leg are down past your knees and your liver's hanging out and your tongue. No, he said, all men you'll know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Aren't you glad Jesus loves you? You know, I hate to admit this to you, but I probably wasn't the perfect Christian today. Now, don't ask my wife. She'll tell you. But he still loves me. I tell teenagers, and I mean this, I don't like the way they live sometimes, but I love them. I was going off to preach one time, got a note from one of my teenagers, and I opened it. Now, listen to this. It had a $100 bill in it from a teenager. Wow. Teenager. Yeah, listen. Here's your pastor right here. I think he won the minor lottery. No. He sold dogs. Here's what he said. Thank you, preacher, for understanding that we're teenagers. Now, folks, We've heard this so long. Is it just another song? You remember when you used to love to pray? I mean, you couldn't hardly wait to get along with God. You remember that? Have you changed? Yeah, God hasn't changed. You remember, you know, when I was in Bible college, you know, and this is what happens to everybody. I got about the color of this pulpit, got to without sleep. And I get up, put on one shoe and go to sleep before I get the other one on. And I sat in the class every day hearing the Bible, but I'd get up on my own and walk and read it, keep going to sleep. I read this book today. I need this book. I need it bad. I didn't look at it today for a sermon. I looked at it for me. Now, if something hopped out, I marked it. And you know what? There's folks in my church that are unlovely. I mean, really. But I love them. I'd do anything in the world for them. Hey, listen to me. Let's not just get stirred up. Let's go home from this conference changed. I mean changed. You know, it's good for young people to go to youth camp and they come home, they're changed for 2 or 3 weeks. No, let's a year from now say, well, I remember that conference there in Trinity Baptist Church and Brother Fugate or Brother Daryl Cox or Brother Gomez or Brother Smith or, you know, Brother Gilman or somebody preached a sermon that changed my heart. I can tell you service, I've sitting in like this and go home and tell my wife, God changed me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for letting me try to help these people. And I know there's people in this room got heartaches and they have troubles and there's preachers here that have heartaches and they have troubles and difficulties and some of them stay with them for a long time.